People at the National Day of Prayer, which was really good turnout. We actually had some more turnout than most of the other churches in our association. But not only did we have that, we had the people from our church was serving down at the meal ministry. And so I want to tell you to look around for a minute. If you're not serving, then you're kind of out of the loop, unless you're new, unless you've been visiting. I get that. But this is just kind of be out in front in the open. This is a serving church. We're going to need to learn. We'll teach you how to do that, because that's what we do once we become believers. I don't want to stand before God and have nothing.
That's right.
And know all I did was take.
Amen.
And receive.
Give.
We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 6 this morning, and some of you may know where I'm going, and that's good. If you know where I'm going, then you know your Bible. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 6 this morning. And that Psalm Redeemed is a very special song for many of you. I know that. Something you don't want to forget. But I also want to remind you that that is just the first step. Because God redeemed you, but now He wants to use you.
That's right.
And maybe that's why this me. I don't know what she's going to sing, and she doesn't know what I'm going to preach, but sometimes it just works out the way it needs to work out. Anytime I go in Isaiah chapter 6, it takes me a little longer to study it. Takes me a little bit more to make sure my mind and my heart is right, because this is a big chapter. This chapter, you think you got yourself right with God? This chapter will mess you up. This chapter will mess you up. This chapter will mess you up. If you start drawing to God, this chapter will mess you up. We're going to cut it like a piece of pie, so we're going to take bites. So we're going to take sliced pieces, okay? Because there's a lot into it. And I'm going to ask you right now that if you got any attitude toward God right now, I pray you take care of that. If not, these scriptures, God's going to use it to convict your heart on whatever He needs to do. I hope that you understand that there is a reverence for God. I love the way we do church today, and I love the way that we can come in as we want to come in. But I want to tell you, do not forget who He is. Do not forget that He is a King. Do not forget He is a Creator. Do not forget to be in awe of Him. And don't forget that we need to respect Him and honor Him and love Him and give all that to Him, because He is due that.
Amen.
If anybody struggles with it, is the American church. The American church, the American people are probably one of the most highly educated people in the world, per se. And also, we have more funds and more money than most people across the globe, the world. And we can get kind of like self-centered. That we're kind of above people, which we're not. God has a way of just being in the room. And He'll humble you in a heartbeat.
That's right.
So if you have your imagination switch, just kind of flip it on. We're going to go. We'll have to use that to understand what these scriptures are saying in some parts of it, especially in this beginning. But in chapter 6 of Isaiah, it says, in the year of the King Uzziah, that he died. I want to tell you right there that Judah has an empty, there's a throne in Judah that has an empty, it's an empty seat. But I want to remind you that God's throne is never empty.
Amen.
We may have empty seats or change of seats of personnel and names, but God's throne is always the same. He is always there. There's never an empty seat. He says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. And what has happened, Isaiah, God has brought him to a place where he can see these things. It's something only God can do. He said, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. You're imagining that Isaiah is seeing all of this, just seeing that the Lord is there. He didn't have to be told that it's the Lord. Listen, the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. God's not going to have to say, listen, I am God. People will know that He is God. And He said, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up. And the train of His robe filled the temple. This is why you got to have your imagination. You got to try to figure out what that looks like. Sometimes when we read Scripture, we just burn right through it and we forget some of the meat of the Scripture. And he says in verse 2, above it stood Sephram. Above it stood Sephram. Each one had six wings. This is something we don't know. We have not seen this here on this earth. So Isaiah's seen it for the first time. God's allowing him to poke his head into this realm that he can't go to, but God brought him there. And however God does that, he brought him there to take a peek and see what the throne room looks like. Now I'm going to tell you, that can mess you up right there. Because the only unworthy person really there would be us. And he says, above it stood Sephram, with each had six wings. And with two, he covered his face. So it's two of those wings, he had covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And the other two, he flew. It's an active throne room. It's an active place. So not just seeing what it is, now he's going to hear something. One of the Sephram, it says, and one cried out to another. One cried out to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Right. And the door and the post of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. This was loud, this was powerful. And the house was filled with smoke. And Isaiah has seen all of this. And Isaiah says, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone because I am a man of unclean lips. What he is saying is, I am finished. I am done. I am unworthy. I'm nothing. I just need to go back. I need to go to dirt. I am nothing. I am nothing. I want to tell you, we don't know what our sin really is until we stand in front of God. We really don't know how bad we really are until we really start getting a prayer life. We don't really know how bad we are sometimes until we kneel and we start drawing. When you ask that scripture, we don't have it up here, but that scripture says, when you draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. What happens is, when you draw nigh to God, your stuff is coming with you. And that stuff, God, it just starts coming up, and you're going to have to deal with that stuff. So we're not as good as we think we are. We're not as awesome as we think we are. Our church is not as amazing as maybe some of us think that it is. Because what happens is when we stand before God, his holiness radiates around him, and we can't handle it. Not with the stuff we have in our lives. We can't handle it. Isaiah is standing there looking at this. And I just want to tell you, it's not by acts, it's not by works that you get to heaven. It's not by works. The Bible tells us it's not by works that you get salvation. Okay? So no one can boast about that. So it's not by works. James tells us that without works, our faith is dead. It's not going against each other, but there's a place for it. One says, your works are great, but don't lean on your works that they're going to get you to heaven. But listen, you need to do something. You need to do something. But what God is doing is preparing Isaiah to do something. So he allows him to take a peek into, behind the veil. He allows him to come in and take a peek behind the veil, and he's just standing there watching, and in the holiness of God, it brings him to a place. He says, woe is me, I am unclean. And he even says, I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. What he is saying, he says, I am nothing. I'm a sinful man, and my people and my family are sinful. But I want to tell you, God, that through God there is hope. There is hope. But God wants to use this man. But this man's got to get a couple of things. He's got to understand a few things. He's got to understand a few things. And in verse 6, he says, then one of the saffron flew to him. He said, one of the saffron flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. So there's an altar there. And there is some live coals, some hot coals. And he touched my mouth with it. And this is what he said. Behold, this has touched your lips. Now, I want to tell you, we don't think much about that, but could you imagine a saffron telling you that? We're just trying to figure out what it looks like. But he's speaking now to Isaiah. He says, behold, listen, I want to tell you, when God speaks to some of us run. When God speaks to some of us change what he speaks because we don't like what he says. Some of us, when God speaks to us, we act like he's not in the room. We don't want to hear. So we don't want to listen. But when we get to the place where we begin to listen to what God has to say, it's not just about listening. There's some things that's got to be done first. Because if God's going to call and use you, listen, there's a lot of people that have done things for God. But listen, when God's called you to do something, he's going to work you first. You don't do first, he works on you first. This is the problem when people think, well, I have my little sin over here and I can do that, but I'm also going to serve the Lord. Listen, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. That is not going to work. And God's taking care of that in this way. And he says, behold, this has touched your lips. And what he tells him this. He says, your iniquity is taken away. And your sin is purged. Now there's a difference between iniquity, sin, and transgressions. Now you get in your Bible and you study and you learn these things so you know the difference. So you're not the same Christian you were last year, then you need to be stronger and more educated, more. You need to be stronger this year. Sin is an act that we do against God that's not right. But this iniquity is a premeditated sin. I'm going to go sleep with him tonight. I'm going to go out and get drunk tonight. I'm going to go use that. Those are premeditated. I'm going to lie when I go to court. I'm going to lie about this. You premeditated. That is your iniquity. And he says, the first thing he says, your iniquity is taken away. Your premeditated sin is taken away. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And then he says, your sin is purged. Now, it doesn't say transgressions, but we know transgressions is something where you do it by choice. You made a choice. Hey, you want to come do this with me? It's not premeditated. It's at the moment, and you do it. It is a sin, but it's you trespass. You crossed over the line. You trespass. It's a transgression. I think I've had iniquity in my life. I think I've committed sin in my life. I think I trespassed over God. I have transgression in my life. You? Do you? Isaiah 53 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Does this sound familiar? But he was bruised for our iniquities. Does that sound familiar? The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Does that sound familiar? We don't need saffron coming and doing it to us, but we have Jesus Christ. Amen? The problem is we take Jesus for granted. We do the drive-through forgiveness. Here, a hot coal had to be put upon his tongue. Now, this is, I don't know how God did all that stuff, but we know, we see the scriptures here. But now he says this. This is where I want to help you today. Because some of us get stuck that this is who I am, this is where I was, I'm a sinful person. Yeah, we are all sinful, but we are redeemed in Jesus Christ. Satan keeps pulling you back and saying, hey, you're not worthy to serve God. You got too much junk in your life. He wants you to stay in that lane where you don't do anything. He doesn't want to get you to get into the lane where you begin to serve, because some of you need to be serving. That's what this message is about. And some of you are serving a lot, and we appreciate that, but don't get cocky about how much you do and how much you serve. Because everyone is replaced. And everyone is replaceable. And in time, we're all going to be replaced. But God loves you. And then he said, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, now it's not a saffron, it's the Lord. The Lord is going to speak now, and what he's going to say is, I want to tell you, when God asks the question, whether it's in the book of Job or wherever it's at,
Isaiah so many times, 2 Kings, whatever, whenever it's, when God asks the questions to Jonah, why are you going to be angry? Listen, God already has the answer. It's not that he don't have an answer, it's that he wants to hear from you. He wants you to confess an answer, to give an answer. And God says this, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Now, Isaiah is somewhere out there watching this whole thing. And God is speaking. Have you ever noticed, have you ever felt like in preaching or something where, or the Lord is speaking, somewhere is speaking and all of a sudden, I think he's speaking to me. We're singing a song and like, I think God is speaking to me, but there's a crowd. How do you know that? Because the Holy Spirit testifies to you, knocks on your door and speaks in a way that only you know because you know him because you have that same Holy Spirit.
Amen. That's right.
All right. And God says, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Now, there's a council in heaven. And some people might say, well, where's the council? I've never heard of a council in heaven. It isn't that God needs counsel. But God has a counsel. And I know that I need to show you this scripture because we just need to be there because some of you say, I've never heard of a council in heaven. I want you to turn over to 1 Kings chapter 22. This is good stuff. This is good stuff. The more you read your Bible, the more you're going to learn, the more you're going to grow, and the more God's going to use you. Amen?
Amen.
Right. Didn't get an amen off of that. You know why? Because all that takes work. All that takes work. All that takes work. All of it takes work. We're not going to get into this story because some of you be like, going to read a few scriptures ahead. I shouldn't even say that. And you're going to say, well, I can't believe God. Maybe we'll get there at another time because that's a lot deeper. I want to tell you guys, look at me real quick. Do you notice that the last few messages have been deeper? I'm trying to trust. God is saying, bring them deeper. Bring them deeper. Bring them deeper. You're listening. You're more attentive now than you had been 6 months ago. Keep listening. Take those notes, okay? Check the scriptures out. If I bum one up, you need to let me know. I have done a refatification one time when I came out in the pulpit back on State Street when I messed the scripture completely up in my first year. Came back out and said, this, I was wrong. I'm okay with that. Go back and study it, okay? You're not going to bust my bubble. I need to be busted from time to time. Keep me humble, right? Amen? All right, we're not going to get deep into this, but I just want you to see it. In verse 19 of 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 19, then Micaiah said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. God is giving him a prophetic piece. God is kind of doing the same thing with Isaiah somewhat, giving him this prophetic piece. And he sees this prophecy. He says, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne and all the hosts of heaven standing by. Do you get that? All the hosts of heaven. Okay. And on his right hand and on his left. Verse 20. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up? That's a king. He's going to fall. Listen, this king Ahab is going to die. It's already spoken in heaven. He's going down. He's going down. God saw it in heaven. And the way this guy's acting, you know who his wife is, don't you? Jezebel, Queen Jezebel. Today, he's going down. Isn't that crazy? They're having a conversation about a human being. They're going down. There's nothing Ahab can do to fix it. Because God is speaking. Woo! But also look at the positive side. Jesus said, they're going up. I like that. All right? So he says, the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up or to go up and he may fall at Ramoth Gilead? So one spoke in this matter and another spoke in that matter. So there's a conversation with this council back and forth. And then the Spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. We're going to stop there because that goes into a whole other message. You that know. But one comes forward and says, I'll do it. Okay? And it became a lying spirit. And we're not going there. But I want you to know there's conversation going on in heaven. Okay? There's conversation going on in heaven. And God's here. We're back at Isaiah chapter 6. And he says, who shall I send and who will go for us? This was a turning point. It wasn't that God had a turning point. It was that Isaiah had a turning point. Let's think back. Isaiah, remember, Isaiah saw the saffron. Wings over the face, wings over the feet, wings flying. And They're shouting out, "Holy is the Lord." And then all of a sudden, Isaiah says, "Woe to me. I'm nobody. I can't take this. And I'm a man of unclean lips. And I'm just a sinful man." But listen, what happened? His iniquities and his sins were atoned for. Just a few seconds before, his iniquities, this is so important, and his sin was atoned for, which means was paid for, were taken care of, were canceled out. Amen. Today, Jesus does that. We don't need a hot coal put on our tongue, because he said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." He confessed that he was a sinner, and he had unclean lips, and he came over and put a hot coal on his tongue. But that was just a few minutes ago, and it was atoned for. Here is a man that just heard God say, "Whom shall I send, and whom will go for us?" Wow, that would just go to Revelations and see John just drop and says, I fall like a dead man before God. In the presence of God, it is we just can't handle it. But his sins are atoned for. His iniquities are taken care of. So now he can answer. He says, "Then I said, here I am, send me." He couldn't say that when he had sin in his life. This is why some of you can't serve God right now, because you got sin in your life that you're not dealing with. You don't get amens on those. You got things in your life. You have a negative attitude toward the church or toward some programs in the church that's not going the way that you like. Or you've got secret sin going on at home, whatever it may be. You got some stuff that you need to take care of, and God's wanting to use you. So we're in the middle of this gap where we know who God is, but we're not dealing with him. And we say, "Woe is me." And so we kind of stay back away from God, but we want that salvation. We're working. We're just back and forth. But there comes a moment when we know that we need to deal with that sin, and we deal with it. Then we're usable. We're not perfect, but we're usable. We're at least usable. And Isaiah says, "Send me." He didn't even know what he was being sent to. That's how crazy it is. When he was saying, "Lord, here I am, use me." And God is looking for people like that today. God is looking for that for people right here. With no strings attached. No buts. No ifs. But Lord, here's me. Could you imagine it? Listen, the scripture says a loud voice came out and said, "Holy, holy is the Lord." And the doorposts were shaking. Here's just, that's from a saffron. That's from those guys. But here we see a man and he shouts out, "Send me!" And every eye, you got to know, every eye was looking. Because whoever's the loudest, everybody looks at. Sometimes when Bob says something, everybody looks right at Bob. Yeah. Or over here when John says, and he says, "Send me. Here I am. I'm over here, over here. Look over here, look over here. Send me." You that have parents, you are parents have kids or grandkids that like to watch Shrek. It's at my house all the time. There's all these characters. And then there's that donkey that keeps jumping up and says, "Pick me, pick me, pick me." That's the way we need to be in front of the Lord. "Lord, pick me. Pick me over here, pick me." The cool part is you may remember your junk, but the Bible says God casts as far as it is from the east, is from the west. He's not looking at you. He's not looking at your junk. He's looking at his son. He's looking at you being redeemed. You look at the junk. He's not looking at it. He's looking at your potential. You're looking at the junk. And so we stand there and say, "Good for you." And we choose to keep doing what we do. I says, "Here I am. Send me." And then he said, then God says, "Go and tell this people." And there's a great message he says. He says, now tell them, keep on hearing but do not understand. Keep on seeing but do not perceive. That is kind of complicated. It says they have ears but I don't want them to hear. But they have eyes but I don't want them to see. Basically it is, listen, or they'll turn away and they'll get their lives straight. And we think, well, that's so wrong. Hey, God has a way and a purpose of doing things. And sometimes people need to be disciplined. And God's going to do some discipline. And we're going to look at this right now and what that discipline looks like.
He says, oh, now God says, make the heart. Remember, he didn't choose. He didn't even say, what is it? He said, pick me. He says, make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed. Can I tell you, we need to thank God for his grace today. We need to thank God for not just his grace, but for his mercy and his never ending, unfailing love. Amen. When you don't feel like loving him, he's still loving you. He's awesome. God is awesome. And then he said in verse 11, then I said, this is what we do. This is what we do in ministry. How long? How long am I going to do this? How long am I supposed to do this? How long am I supposed to do this? Because we're like books. We like a beginning and an end. But when you serve God, there's a beginning, but there's no end. If your life is with God, there is a beginning of your serving God, and there is no end. Listen, on your deathbed, your mind is corrupt. Whatever it is, you can praise God and serve him on your deathbed. When no one else is worshiping, you can worship him on your way into heaven. People don't think about that. Everybody else is crying, but you're worshiping God. I pray that I will have my mind so that I might have that experience. That would be an awesome experience. He said, how long? How long can I do this? How long? Is there a time frame? How long? Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant. The houses are without a man and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. It sounds so depressing. Sometimes ministry can be so heavy. It sounds like sometimes ministry is so bigger than ourselves. Of course it's bigger than you. It has to be bigger than you so that you will always lean on God. Because when you, it is big, if you're bigger than your ministry, then where's God in it? The ministry has to be bigger than you. It has to be bigger than you. The ministries we have here are bigger than us. The ministries one day will probably outgrow the church. But it will be a testimony to God. If that's what it is, so be it. God shows himself around. Here's the problem. It's going to be us, not him. We need not to forget of what he is doing. That we should be testifying to the power of God in our own life and in our own church. So that God gets the praise for it. We are without excuse. You can either be negative, and God will speak to you about that. Or you can be positive and begin to transform and speak to others and help them transform their lives by the awesome testimonies that are in this place. But when God says the word but, better pay attention. That means he's not finished. We use that word all the time when we get in discussion. But. And basically what it is, we're in a place where we're just not communicating very well. But when God speaks, we need to zip our lips and pay attention and really listen. Because all the land's going to be desolate. It looks like everything's going to a waste, but God has mercy. Verse 13, but a tenth will be in it. You know what that's called, right? It's called a remnant. Anybody ever go to the store carpet and buy a remnant? That means it comes from a bigger piece. It's not a piece on its own that was made for itself, but it comes from a bigger piece, a bigger roll of carpet. It's a piece of the carpet. It's a smaller piece of the carpet. And it's there, and it's usually a leftover piece that you can go to the store and buy it. It's a little cheaper, but it is a part of something that was bigger. But yet the tenth, be a remnant, will be in it, and will return and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree, or as an oak. This is kind of tough right here. Whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. The holy seed shall be its stump. Folks, we don't know what it's like to live in that time when the word of the Lord can be rare. The Holy Spirit wasn't in people who were believed like it is today. We are blessed people. But there is a remnant. And there's a remnant in churches today that are struggling. When churches are torn apart, sometimes God allows that stump to be there. And it's a small little church now. It used to run 200, little 25, 30 people. And sometimes it'll shoot back up and it'll spurt up. But for a while, for a long while, it'll just be a stump. But I want to tell you, if you've ever taken a stump out of the ground, this is as green as it was when it had all the other limbs. It's tough. It's tough to take a tree, take a stump out of the ground. Even if you cut it 3 years later, 5 years later, you try to get it out, it can still be green underneath. And shoots can be coming off of it. And some people say, God is so hard. Why is he so hard like that in our life? Well, sometimes we need to be like the stump as an individual. There's a lot of things that need to be cut off out of our life. And it looks like everything can be cut out of our life. But I want to tell you, everything needs a pruning. But if God said the holy seed shall be its stump, God is still with it. If only these people would have listened to the prophets, and only these people would have listened. So God has conversation in heaven and allows Isaiah to be a part of it. The first part of it is we saw that there is a holiness about God that brings out our junk. And we admit that we can't handle and stand before God because of the sins that we have in our life. But thank God that we have Jesus Christ. If we confess all of our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and all of our unrighteousness. That we can be forgiven. And then we can stand there and we can be able to say, Lord, send me. Send me. Send me. God never picks a person by how awesome they are. God never picks a person by the talents that they have, or the status that they have in a community, or the name by their last name. God never picks a person by the education that they have, because we know that by Scripture. God picks who He chooses to pick. I don't understand the mind of God, and never will, and neither will you. But God chooses how He chooses. And I believe that God's choosing some of you and calling some of you just to hear the question, who shall I send? Who shall do that? Who shall do this? And believe me, folks, it is not all about preaching. It is not all about teaching. It is serving God. And you can serve God anywhere. It's whatever He's calling you out to do. And if there is a church that needs help more than any other church in this community, I will say it is right here. Because our ministries and our churches are not separated, but they are together. They may have different names, but they are together. Amen? Imagine. Let's close our eyes for a minute. Now turn on that imagination switch for a minute. Focus for a second. Try to block out everything. God has allowed you to enter into behind the veil to see the throne where He's sitting on the throne and His awesomeness is all around. Colors that you cannot imagine. Saffron flying all over. And you hear them say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. You're watching all of this. And the whole earth is full of His glory. And God looks at you with His eyes. Your eyes lock with Him. And just about that moment, you know that you're unworthy. And you need to confess some sin. And the Bible says if we ask, Jesus Christ will forgive us of our sins. And when you know that it is forgiven, and you hear God And the council, and Saffron are all around, and you hear the Lord Himself say, "Whom shall I send?" And the question is, do you have a response? Now, what do we do with that? We do with that, with everything else we do, we give it to the Lord. This is the time where we have our altar call. So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and stand. Whatever God has.